from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. It's the middle of August in an election year, and that means that state and federal politicians have descended on Sedalia for the Missouri State Fair. For Missouri Republicans, this state fair season may be a little less festive. Earlier this month, Missourians rejected two of the party's biggest priorities, making it harder to pass some constitutional amendments and expanding sales and use taxes as a way to eliminate the income tax. But even though these measures failed in every single part of the state by eye-popping margins, GOP leaders are pressing on to the general election. But it remains to be seen if Republicans can regain their footing in some key state legislative races, especially with a less than stellar national environment for the GOP. St. Louis Public Radio State House and politics reporter Sarah Kellogg was at the state fair on Thursday for the governor's ham breakfast, and she joins us now to talk about Republican confidence going into November, as well as court decisions over two major ballot initiatives. Sarah, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, Jason. Good to be back.
How are Missouri Republicans feeling after the dismal failure of Amendment 4 and Amendment 5?
I think they're understanding that maybe they need to take a step back on those issues, but I don't think they feel defeated. I think ultimately the sentiment was that, well, maybe Missourians would still like these ideas. They just did not like the particular plans that were in place. So I think that they're kind of, obviously they wanted a different outcome, but I don't think that means that they're going to stop pressing on the issues that were Amendment 4 and 5.
To detail this a little bit more colorfully, I want to play an exchange between you and State Senator Curtis Gregory, a Republican from beautiful and scenic Saline County.
We are coming a couple weeks off the primary where voters pretty soundly rejected Amendments 4 and 5. What did you make of that election?
You mean that you call that soundly?
80% some. A spanking?
I would say soundly is probably pretty accurate. You know, I don't think the proposals were bad. I guess it depends on what side of the spectrum you're on, but at one point in time, Democrats, when they were in control, they tried to do something with initial petition reform, probably for the same reasons. Maybe that was a little more forward-thinking than us, and we're maybe a little more reactive. But, you know, the concerns I heard was it's just too restrictive. And why doesn't it apply to the legislature also? Those were some of the same concerns I had had, but this was a clear path to finally get something on the ballot, something I voted on, I think it was at 5 years by the time we put that on the ballot last summer. So it was 5 years, something I'd voted on. And we finally had a path to get something on the ballot for the people to choose for, and they chose. And at the end of the day, that's what matters to me. Same thing with Amendment 5. People have always wanted income tax reform. We finally had a governor grab the bull by the horns, put a proposal together. And again, same way, some of the same concerns that I had in thinking about it were the same things I heard on the campaign trail, but this was the path. We all agreed, let's put this on the ballot. And it was kind of funny, people would almost tell me they're voting against it to get under my skin, and I'm going, okay, that's fine. That's your choice. Like, you get to vote against this if you want to, but let me explain to you how this will work and why we're doing it. And a lot of those people, I could turn their minds, but you just can't have that conversation with, you know, 2 million voters.
That was Senator Curtis Gregory, a Republican from Saline County, talking with St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg yesterday at the Missouri State Fair. First of all, Sarah, that was one of my favorite exchanges I've heard in recent weeks and months, so thank you for making my day.
You're welcome.
What did you make of that explanation from Senator Gregory?
You know, I think in some aspects, I think he's definitely pecking at what maybe some voters were saying. I think that we brought up a couple times to, you know, certain events that there was a big dislike of the fact that the new, with Amendment 4, with the restrictions that they put on citizen-led initiatives they didn't have for lawmakers. You know, he said that's something that he himself didn't really like. And I think that ultimately that version, I think, is universally agreed at this point to be too strict. And I think that there might be a version, you know, in the future where maybe I know 1 year, I think it was 56%. I know later in our conversation, he mentioned maybe just a concurrent. So maybe a 5 out of 8 congressional districts along with a 50+1. So I think that, you know, the idea of having a greater explanation, like that being too strict, I think was definitely a issue with four. Regarding five, you know, he mentioned like the clamoring for income tax reform. I don't know if that's what's top of mind for most Missourians. I know that other Republicans, Democrats will say property taxes or even personal property taxes might be a little more pressing than the income tax. But I do think that ultimately some of the, because there wasn't a set plan, I think that there was a lot of opportunity for the opposition to say, well, it's going to do this, this, and this, because there just wasn't that ability. And he's right, maybe by talking to people, he was able to get a different opinion across. But ultimately, you know, like he said, there was just too many people that you had to convince, and ultimately people didn't buy it.
By the way, you can give us a call with your questions about Missouri politics. Call us at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. So Governor Mike Kehoe was asked if the 80% plus no votes on these two amendments made him hesitant to revisit efforts to curtail the initiative petition process or eliminate the income tax. Here is what he had to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked to a lot of Missourians afterwards, many at the state fair, who said, don't give up, keep going, keep trying. Missourian, if you ask the average Missourian, do you want to keep more of your money, their answer is going to be yes. We didn't maybe communicate the plan very well, or the package wasn't put together right. It doesn't mean I don't stop. You know, the best hitter in baseball is a 300 hitter. So we're going to keep trying.
That was Governor Mike Kehoe talking about the demise of Amendments 4 and 5. At the state fair in Sedalia. Sarah, do you think the legislature tries again on either of these issues, given how big the margins of defeat were?
Well, so ultimately, I do think that lawmakers are going to try again. But I think the 80% margins, four failed with 80%, five failed with 83% saying no, I think that big of a margin means they don't try again immediately. You know, I spoke with Representative Alex Riley, who is expected to be the speaker next year, and he pretty much said, like, Republicans run on tax cuts. And but then he kind of mentioned, like, well, property taxes, personal property taxes. I don't think he took income taxes off the board, but I think, you know, he said there's a lot of regrouping that needs to happen with both Amendments 4 and 5's failure. Same thing with making it harder to amend the Missouri Constitution. That's something Republicans have wanted for years. You know, they get something on the ballot, it fails with 80%. I think that requires a regrouping. So I think we'll see it again, but I don't think it's going to be right away.
The big question is whether the failure of these initiatives will carry on into November. Senator Eric Schmidt doesn't seem to think so, primarily because of the structure of the state's 2026 election cycle.
There's not a lot of general election races, you know, in Missouri. There's really only one statewide. It's kind of an unusual year in that way. I think that only happens once every 12 years or so. So this state fair and this ham breakfast has a little bit of a different feel. You don't have all the candidates you typically have who are running, but I'm going to do everything I can, obviously getting around the country campaigning for people so we hold the majority in the U.S. Senate.
That was GOP U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt talking at the state fair in Sedalia about Missouri GOP prospects. Sarah, he's not wrong. This election cycle is favorable for Republicans because there's only one statewide office up for grabs. But it does seem like Democrats have an opportunity to do what they've said they would do for years, which is have more seats in the House and Senate go their way. What do you think about that?
I do think they have that opportunity. If I remember correctly, Missouri Democrats only need to flip three House seats to break the supermajority and then two in the Senate. And I think that with what this election cycle is going to be, you're right, there is only one statewide race, but I think that there's a lot of motivated Democrats. And I think that that could cause some flips for sure. And ultimately, I think that Democrats are really trying to hang their hats on the failures of 4 and 5 and dragging the Republicans who voted for them along with them. And so I think that they do see this as a big opportunity for them to make inroads. I think, you know, the auditor's race is a hard win for them, you know, but I do think that they're going to see the opportunities elsewhere in both those down ballot races as well as amendments.
We'll talk more specifically about one particular race in a moment. But Donna from Baldwin, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. What's on your mind?
Hello. I'm happy to be here. I'm an avid listener, and I appreciate this hour. I just feel that our legislature in Missouri and our governor don't seem to want to respect what the voters decide. And I keep thinking back to that adage, you know, like, isn't that the definition of insanity to keep trying the same thing, expecting different results? And it's just time for them to start paying attention to what the voters are saying in the, at the ballot box.
Well, Donna, thank you for your call today. Sarah, anything to add to Donna's call? It seems like this November election will be a referendum of sorts on whether voters are tired of that type of legislative behavior from Republicans.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think Republicans point to that as, well, they elect us, and that's the priorities that we know we stand for. And so therefore, they feel like that gives them the ability to vote the way they do because they are elected into the legislature. But I do think there are instances right now we're seeing rejections of 405, the legislature overturning the paid sick leave initiative last year. I think there is a lot of frustration right now with voters along with lawmakers. We'll see if that makes a difference in November.
Indeed, one of the people who is hoping to take advantage of the backlash over Amendments 4 and 5 is State Representative Carrie Engel, who is running for State Senate in Jackson County. You caught up with her yesterday, and she's hoping that the poor national environment for Republicans ultimately trickles to Missouri.
You know, what we're seeing nationwide since Trump was reelected in every single special election, areas where, you know, Democrats are winning, or not even if they're not winning, they're overperforming Kamala Harris by on average 13.5 percentage points. And so folks are really, really shifting that pendulum right now. And it has to do with the economy. It has to do with us and our involvement in foreign wars that we have no business being involved in. It has to do with, you know, public education. It has to do with all of these different issues that affect everyone's bottom line, that affect their day-to-day lives. And people are, I believe that this is going to be a change election.
That was State Representative Carrie Engel, a Democrat from Lee's Summit, who is running for the state Senate. Sarah, this is the 20th anniversary of the 2006 election cycle, which is, I think, by any objective measure, the worst election cycle for Missouri Republicans of this century. They not only lost the auditor's race and a U.S. Senate race, but they lost a lot of seats in the legislature because it was just a terrible year nationally for Republicans. Do you think if Engel ends up winning against House Speaker John Patterson, who has just almost an unlimited amount of money at his disposal, that could just be an example of just the national wave is just too much for Republicans to overcome?
Yeah, I can see that. I think something that's kind of interesting about the Engel-Patterson race, and I've mentioned it, I think, on the show before, is that Patterson was one of the handlers of Amendment 5. So I think that he's kind of, and he was the speaker, I think he's kind of a very unique candidate in that way, that there's kind of a lot to hang on him as far as opposition with Carrie Engel. But I think that she's definitely an indicator. I'm also really interested to see the race in Springfield, which is obviously a little more of a purple, not that Lee Summit isn't, but I think that's a strictly purple area. And I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens there between Melanie Stinnett and Representative Betsy Fogel, both House representatives running for an open seat. So I think there is a couple races we can see that indicate how the things are going to go.
Let's go to Janet from Webster Groves. Janet, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. I'm a big fan of you, Jason, and of the radio station. I think the message is finally getting through to the rural voters of Missouri. It's what the citizens in Kansas City and St. Louis have known for a long time. We really need to align ourselves with the elected politicians that make conditions better in Missouri. In rural areas, hospitals are closing. Schools are now down to 4 days a week. We do not pay our state workers, which a lot of state workers are in the rural areas, enough to live on. So I think the rural area is really feeling the crunch, and they're finally figuring this out, that they need to change their votes and vote for some of the Democrats, because the Republicans are not bringing home the things that they need to live.
Thank you, Janet, for your comment. And we will actually talk more about that in a race that is going to get national attention on the western side of the state in a moment. But the other topic of conversation at the state fair was what else? Congressional redistricting, because on Wednesday, a Cole County judge blocked a referendum on a map aimed at ousting Democrat Emanuel Cleaver. He also blocked a proposal called Respect Missouri Voters that makes it more difficult for the legislature to overturn voter-approved initiatives. That case, but I think both of the cases now head to the Missouri Supreme Court. Here's Secretary of State Denny Hoskins talking about these lower court decisions.
I'm continuing to bat 1,000. I went 3 for 3 this week. We continue to win. And so I know some of the folks out there don't like it. They don't want me to follow state law. They don't want me to follow Missouri Constitution. Well, I'm not going to do that. And it doesn't matter how loud they are. I will not be deterred. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do my job as a chief election official here in the state of Missouri.
That was Missouri Secretary of State Denny Hoskins talking about the Cole County court decisions that went in his direction. Sarah, you were in the courthouse several times this week. What was sort of your reaction to the Judge Green's decisions on the redistricting referendum and the Respect Missouri Voters initiative?
Ultimately, I don't think the parties were surprised at Judge Green's ruling. I think, and also, you know, not that it doesn't matter because that is the step that gets it to the Supreme Court, but everyone knows these were going to the Supreme Court. And I think that's ultimately where we're going to see maybe a difference of opinion regarding what Hoskins is saying and what the plaintiffs in the cases are expecting. So I think we'll see. It'll be interesting. I have no idea, you know, after what we saw with this precedent ruling, where the court's going to go. But I think that there's valid arguments kind of for each side and certain specific points of it. And so I think, you know, Republicans are obviously hoping these rulings stand, and Democrats are hoping for flips when it comes to both of these cases.
Yeah, I am done predicting what the courts are going to do, so do not ask me that question.
Well,
so
I do want to say, I know we talk, I feel amiss to not mention Air Bud, but I think that's the big question is, well, the Supreme Court allowed redistricting because there wasn't anything that said they couldn't, and now, you know, the defendants in this case are saying, well, there's nothing that says that you can referendum a map. And so they're asking for the result reverse order, you know, reverse. So I think that'll be interesting to see if the court is consistent and says, nope, there's nothing saying it, so you can, or no, there's nothing saying it, you can't. I think that's a big question in that particular case.
Just want to say for the record, I did not bring up Air Bud. Sarah did.
I did.
You caught up with Representative Emmanuel Cleaver, who is prepared to run in a new district that is oriented toward the GOP if Judge Green's decision is sustained by the Supreme Court. Here is the Kansas City Democrat.
Well, I mean, I'm going to do it the same way I've been doing it all of my career, and that's going out representing the people. I was here yesterday. I was here last night at the dinner. And this is not my first rodeo here. So I'm not, I think, you know, someone may have miscalculated to assume that, number one, that I couldn't represent a rural area, and then number two, that somehow people were going to think this was okay, and they don't. The polling shows it.
That was Congressman Emmanuel Cleaver, a Democrat who represents the 5th Congressional District. Sarah, I am not going to lie to people and say that the new map makes Cleaver anything other than the underdog in this race. But he has represented rural counties before, including for a decade Lafayette, Saline, and Ray counties. What do you make of his comments?
I mean, that was a question that was asked to Republicans and others throughout the breakfast was, well, did you make the 5th district something that Republicans can attain, or did you just make it a competitive district compared to a safe Democratic seat, which was in 2022 with the map? And so I think that ultimately this is just a much more competitive race. I don't disagree with you that Cleaver is the underdog, but we're looking at a year where Democrats are overperforming in many, many races. So ultimately he still might be able to pull it off. So I don't think it's a slam dunk as maybe some others would have believed. So I do think that, you know, there's the ability there for him to still win.
Cleaver is squaring off against State Senator Rick Bratton, and the aforementioned court case over the referendum has extraordinarily high stakes for the Cass County Republican, because if the Supreme Court reverses Cole County Judge Daniel Green, then Bratton may have to run in an unwinnable district. Here is Senator Bratton talking to reporters yesterday.
Well, I'm going to continue running, but again, I don't feel that's going to be the case, because that's not what the Constitution, you know, gave the sole authority to the legislature. So I'd see it very, you know, I don't see it happening, so I'm planning for what we currently have.
That was Republican Senator Rick Bratton, the GOP nominee in Missouri's 5th District. Sarah, in the last minute we have left, I listened to the rest of the gaggle with Bratton. He says this is not going to be personal. He just wants to contrast ideas. I think that's a smart strategy. It's going to be hard to get personal against a literal reverend. And it seems if Bratton wins in the new district, it's going to be because Republicans like his ideas better. Is that sort of your take as well?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I will say I think it's going to be hard for Cleaver to not take this personally, because ultimately this was an effort to draw him out of a district. So Bratton might not see it that way, but I don't know if Emmanuel Cleaver will see it the same way.
Well, I did also see a photo of Bratton. He was wearing a hat that said Bratton on it. And I think that Cleaver, if he wants to win, needs to have a hat that says Cleaver on it. Because I unironically loved Rick Bratton's hat.
Well, you should let Emmanuel Cleaver know that, and maybe we can get on a design for him that we think will work.
Every candidate running for office should have a hat with their name on it so people know who it is. But before I get down this hat rabbit hole anymore, I'm going to say goodbye to Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio State House and Politics reporter. Be sure to read her dispatch from the state fair at stlpr.org. Sarah, thank you again for joining us today.
Of course, Jason, always.
This episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.